Okay. Genesis chapter 5 is our primary text. Although I have many others, so get your Bible warmed up. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 5 here for us. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And then Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived, after he begat Canaan, 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived, after he begat Mahalalel, 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived, after he begat Jared, 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, after he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived, after he begat Lamech, 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived, after he begat Noah, 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis chapter 5 is a sermon, a thousand-year sermon. In fact, it's more like a 1,076-year sermon. If you add up all the years from Adam to Noah, it's 1,076 years. And there's a message there. I'll give you a hint right up front. If you haven't done any research on Genesis 5 before, there's actually a hidden message, a mystery, which in the Bible, mystery just means something that is revealed. And so bear with me as we go through this. And lest you think that I'm really smart and figured all this out, I didn't. I owe a lot, if not most, of the content of this message to a preacher who's passed on, Chuck Missler. He died, 6 or 7 years or so ago, but just a very good Bible teacher. So if you want to look up Chuck Missler on the internet, he's got lots and lots of videos. But just a man devoted to the Word. And one of the things that Chuck always says was, if you want to interpret Scripture, the best way to do it is to interpret with Scripture. You use Scripture to interpret Scripture. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing here today. There are some passages I do want to read just to set the stage of where we're going with Genesis chapter 5, because on the face of it, Genesis chapter 5 looks like, names and years and numbers and begats and who really cares, you know? But there's actually a very profound message here. So, but there are a couple of verses I do want to read first. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, it says that surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That is true. And I'm going to go directly to another passage to kind of explain that. In Isaiah chapter 46, starting in verse 9, I'll start with verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, you, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's our God. He declares the end from the beginning. It's part of how he authenticates his word to us, the fact that it's true. Many scientific researchers would love to prove the Bible incorrect. Among those are a lot of archaeologists, but it turns out that they pretty much use the Bible as a map for their archaeology, because it has never been proven false archaeologically. So, God is true. Let every man be a liar. God is true. One other one I wanted to... Let's look at Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. I think that should maybe define our attitude toward Scripture, is that we should be the searchers. You know, like the Bereans were described, you know, they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if what they heard was true. It is really incumbent upon us to be active in the Word. And I know you guys know all of this, but it's never a bad thing to simply repeat the good things to yourself. Get in the Word and let the Word, God's Word, change us. So like I said before, this in Genesis 5 it's like a 1,000-year sermon. And it can only be from God, because it lasted more than even the long lifespan of Methuselah, who lived 969 years. He didn't live as long as this sermon lasted. Adam was dead by the time Noah came along. But here's the sermon. So let's, as we begin in Genesis chapter 5, I want to give a backdrop of the fall of man. Genesis 3:15, and we're all familiar with it. We've gone through it recently. Adam and Eve are in the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is there. They disobey. They eat of the fruit. And in Genesis 3:15, God says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." He's speaking to the serpent. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There's a lot there. It's interesting that God speaks of the seed of the woman, because generally that's not the way the rest of the scripture speaks. It's always the man is the seed. But here we have the seed of the woman. It's a direct prophecy concerning Christ, that he would be born without an earthly father. And of course, we know exactly what's going on here. It is a prophecy of the Lord's victory over sin and death and hell and the serpent. So the fall is evident. And I want to bring your attention to Genesis chapter 5 and how the wording goes. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Adam simply means man. And I really think that it might be read better, and I'm not necessarily a Hebrew scholar, but as I looked at things, this is the generations of Adam, as in man, in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, which is, he called them man, in the day they were created. And then in verse 3, I think this is more about the proper name, the proper noun, Adam. It says that Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Now here's, what did God do when God created Adam, man, male and female? He created them in his own image. He created them in his own likeness. So Adam was created in the likeness of God. And what happens after the fall, when Adam has more sons and daughters? It says that Adam begat in his own likeness, after his own image. Now, I'm going to leave this to you to do more research and to confirm, but I think this is evidence that we are born with this genetic defect of sin, that we are born in Adam's likeness. And if you go to the New Testament and find out, oh, I'm supposed to be born again, and that God makes a way for us to be children of God, once again to be in his likeness. Now, I know there's a lot of doctrine swirling around in these verses, but I think it's compelling to think that we do understand that in Adam we all die, but in Christ we have life. So it stands to reason that being born in Adam's likeness, we do die. But being born again as a new creation, we have life. I think that's just a compelling thing, that here it is in Genesis, kind of veiled a little bit, but if you search it out, it's found to be true. So Adam means man. And 130 years later, Seth comes along. And if you look at the end of chapter 4, That's when, so Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So, actually, Seth means appointed. I think that appointed is an interesting word, because really you have to think something has to have happened. An event has come on the scene. Something has changed for an appointment to have been made. A decision has been made. A divine decree. So Seth is appointed. And if you look at Genesis 4:25, for God said, she hath appointed me another son. So Adam means man. Seth means appointed. And then Seth, 105 years later, has Enosh. I want to look at and I want to also, backing up to Seth, this appointment by God, it creates hope. Because Eve, when she discovered that God had given another, that was her hope. Because she knew the prophecy. She knew that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So there is great hope there. So Seth begat Enosh. Now, Enosh has an interesting definition to his name. His name means incurable, wicked, mortal. So not a pleasant thing. No. When we think of what this means as a whole, we realize that this hope that is expected, this hope that we have, it cannot come from us. We are desperately wicked. I would to go to the extreme and say that describes our position. In our sin is incurable and mortal. Mortal meaning death. Our natural state is death and dying. I want to look at Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So our hope is not of ourselves, because we truly are incapable. We have nothing to bring. We are mortal, incurable, wicked. So this great grace that we have is outside of us. 90 years pass, and Enosh begat Canaan. Now, I think the Hebrew is better trans translated as a as Kenan. I think the King James kind of transliterated it a little off, but Kenan means sorrow. So Adam means man. Seth is appointed. Enosh is mortal, and Kenan is sorrow. Wow, this is really going downhill fast, isn't it? Let's check out Isaiah 53. I'm going to start with verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus is our man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He has shared in every aspect of our grief and pain. So, 70 years pass, and things start looking up. Mahalaleel is born. Mahalaleel means the blessed God. And I can't go a sermon without bringing in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2 describes Mahalaleel, the blessed God. 65 years pass, and Jared is born. Now, Jared means shall come down. Now, some scholars conjecture that shall come down may have been at least an immediate prophecy about some of the strange things that begin to happen in chapter 6 with fallen angels. And I'll leave that to you to research. But for us, I think it describes the Good Shepherd. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we know that Jesus told the parable of the 99 and the one sheep. He will always come. He came down. He was made a little lower than the angels for our sake. So our good news is Jesus the Christ. 162 years pass. And Enoch is born. Now, Enoch is a very interesting character. Most regard him as the first prophet. If you turn to Jude, the book of Jude, verse, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Sounds like a really hard guy. I mean, he's speaking the truth, and more than likely, Enoch was a preacher in his day and had a specific message. Because, I'll give you a hint in advance, when his son came along, he named him His Death Shall Bring. That's what Methuselah means, His Death Shall Bring. So here you have Enoch, a preacher, preaching this message of something is coming. We know what was coming. At the end of Methuselah's life, do you know what happened?
Flood.
The flood, that's right. So Enoch most likely was a preacher telling about the coming destruction. In fact, he named his son so that everyone would know. And can you imagine bearing that name, knowing that... And introducing yourself to your neighbors, you know. And, you know, what happens when Methuselah comes down with a cold, you know, and everybody's like, can I get you some chicken soup? Can I? Nobody wants Methuselah to die. But apparently they didn't pay it enough attention because, you know, things continually spiraled downward anyway. But Enoch taught. He taught the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what, if we look in John 14, verse 6, John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one way. And the world is opposed to it, to say the least. We can see it. We see it every day. There's violence and wickedness and lying, deception, etc., etc., etc. And it makes Jesus' own words about our day all the more ominous, because he said, as in the days of Noah, will the coming of the Son of Man be. And look at this. Look at how we see the spiraling of culture in this early time. And we see the spiraling of culture in our own day. But Enoch was translated. Remember, it said that Enoch walked with God, and then Enoch was not, because God took him. There are some scholars who give who say that Enoch is a picture of what will happen to the church. Because Enoch was translated, he was essentially raptured. God caught him up. It's also interesting that Enoch was translated in the midst of great apostasy. Elijah was translated in the midst of great apostasy, and likely it will be the same with the church being translated in the midst of great apostasy. But I'll leave that to you to search and to find out. So 65 years pass when, I kind of already talked about Methuselah. Methuselah is born, his death shall bring. And I think I told you that Enoch means teaching. And but let's look at 1 John 2, verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, when we think about the sacrifice that God arranged, I think we often think in a very small scope. We know it is our sin, and we're very grateful that that a great sacrifice was made for our sin. And I think God's purposes are so cosmically huge that it's beyond our scope of understanding to know exactly what it is that he is doing, that he is preparing. We can't possibly comprehend the great, the glory that is in store for us, the unimaginable joy that we will have being in the presence of Christ. So I don't think we can ever come to a point where we can say I understand, I've settled, I know all of this, because I think we're going to spend eternity figuring it out. There is so much to know, which is what makes our hope so great. So 187 years pass, and Lamech is born. Lamech means despairing. It sounds kind of bad, but I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think that this despairing is possibly the despairing over our own sin, which it isn't a bad thing that we should grieve over our sin, understanding that we have this marvelous hope, this great salvation. But in the backdrop of that, there is a despairing. But there is a blessing in that mourning. There is a blessing because there is comfort coming for those who mourn. A 182 years pass, and Noah is born. Now, it's interesting that Noah is the only one that his name is actually given space for an actual definition, aside from knowing what the meanings of the names are. Because like most of our Bibles, we've just transliterated these names into how they sound in English. The definitions weren't given, but for Noah, Lamech actually explains. He says, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." So we know what it's spelled out for us, what Noah's name means. Let's look at, I wanted to read John 15. This is Jesus talking. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's kind of the point. Greater love is God's love. And his plan of salvation for us is Jesus Christ. I wanted to look at Matthew 28, verse 30. Oops. In the wrong place here. Well, no, I wrote that. Oh, yeah, I wrote that down wrong. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It's a great way to end this thousand-year sermon. And if you look at the sermon as a whole, using the meanings of the names from Adam to Noah, what we get is man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that there is nothing outside of your control. You cannot be thwarted. Your plan is sure. Your will is indomitable. Your strength inconquerable. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the word that washes us, that renews us. Lord, help us that we would be fruitful branches, that we would abide in the vine. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.